Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, March 31st, the year of our Lord, 2024, and this is Resurrection Sunday. It is Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Alleluia. A very happy Easter to all of you. It is always a joy to welcome you here to the podcast, and especially here on Easter Sunday. I pray you are well, and I pray over your celebration, your observation of Easter Sunday today. And let's just get right to it, and let's begin with a celebration of life itself by breathing in the breath of life, taking in that which is good, which is a gift from God, our life's breath. And here on this Easter, I pray you call to mind the best of your memories of the day, the celebrations, the families and the friends and the special worship services and the story of an empty tomb. It is good. Turn your face toward the heavens. Allow a smile to come to your face as you meditate on these things that fill you with love and peace and hope and joy. And in this spirit of celebration, in the power of resurrection, let's begin together in worship. And let's join together in the call to worship as printed in the digital bulletin. You can find that bulletin over to the left of where you found today's podcast. Just below that line, you'll see sermon notes. Just right there, there's a tab there. Click on it, and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Beloved church, behold the victory of God. Jesus, our Lord, has conquered the grave. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Sin and death shall reign no more. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Let this place resound with joy. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading for Easter comes from John's gospel in the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 18. Early, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. And we give thanks to God for it. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks for the gift of this day and for the gift of your word alive and among us. Help us, O God, to participate in this story, to walk with Mary on that first day before the sun had come up in the sky, to run with anticipation like the disciples, and to hear, as if for the first time, the words that he is no longer in the grave, but he is alive. He is risen indeed. Come to us in this moment, O God. Open our hearts and our minds to the joy of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. Save us from distraction and misinterpretation. Help us to drink deeply from the well of this good word. We pray all of this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, here we are, Easter Sunday. And I don't know about you, but for me, this year is flying by. Not only is it Easter Sunday already, but it's March 31st. The first quarter of the year has gone by. I'm here in the church sanctuary, and if I listen closely enough, I can still hear the last echoes of the Christmas carols in this room. And yet here we are on Easter Sunday. And I pray you're well, and I pray this will be a day of celebration, and I pray that maybe it's a moment where we can all slow down. Because sometimes in the midst of the celebration, we get to be in a bit of a hurry. This morning, in the church lawn this morning, there was an Easter egg hunt. And we probably had 2,000 eggs out there. And the kids showed up, maybe 60, 70 kids. We started at 9. And I swear by maybe 9:10, the whole thing was over. It was a joyful, frenetic 10 minutes. But then it was over. And there were a few more conversations and some goodbyes and see you tomorrows. But then the parking lot was empty. And I'm standing here in the sanctuary, and I kind of see people come and go into the church hall as they're making preparations for tomorrow. And I record this on Saturday, Holy Saturday, the great vigil of Easter. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to just be here quietly reflecting and talking with you about Easter, about this beautiful awe. I mean, what do you say about Easter? I always feel like there's a few Sundays, really Palm Sunday and Easter, I feel like I really shouldn't get up and say a word. But here I am. And we have this wonderful telling of the Easter story in John's Gospel. This story that begins on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, and we see Mary Magdalene. And I imagine that Mary has not slept a wink, that she hasn't had a moment's peace since Friday afternoon. And they've gone through the Sabbath, and the sun's about to come up, and I imagine Mary has cried and shaken her fist and had all of these emotions, but she's made a resolve to make her way to the tomb of Jesus. And so, on the first day of the week, while it's still dark, Mary gets herself together, and she came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. And she has this, per John's telling, this reflexive reaction. What's going through her mind? Is she afraid? Is she angry? But what she does is she runs. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple. And there is this, for me, kind of comic telling of what happens then. Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and she said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him. Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two of them were running. There is an urgency. They need to go and check out this thing that Mary has seen or not seen, because she is assuming that the stone being rolled away means an empty tomb. And so they run. And apparently the other disciple is quicker than Peter, gets there first, but pauses outside and just kind of looking in the best he can. Peter arrives then and does what Peter does. He just steps right in it. And he sees that Jesus is not there, that the body of Jesus is not there, and that the linens are laid aside, and the linen that had been on his head is not only laid aside, but it's rolled up. The other disciple comes in. They exchange some kind of a knowing glance. They've got an idea that something is up, and that maybe that something is good. And so they take off running. It's all happening at a clip. It's going quickly, but not for Mary. Mary's returned, and she's paused outside the tomb, and she's crying. More crying. Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned. And she turned around, she saw Jesus standing there. But she didn't know that it was Jesus. Maybe he was backlit, just a shadow. Maybe her eyes were puffy from all the crying, and her vision wasn't good, but she couldn't make out who this character was. She assumes him to be the gardener and asks that, "If you've taken him away, please tell me where you've laid him so I can take him away." And then the moment. I think one of the most precious moments in the Gospels, Jesus said to her, "Mary." He speaks her name. The good shepherd speaks her name, and she hears his voice, and she knows that it is Jesus. She turned to him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. The recognition is there, and he knows, because perhaps he feels it himself, that her natural reaction is going to be to run up and to hug him and to know that this is real, here he is. But yet this story is still playing itself out. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" And this disciple, Mary Magdalene, she went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. It's a simple little story in terms of its plot and plot line. But when we allow it to sink into us, when we take in what it's trying to tell us, well, we best not be in a hurry. We best not run anywhere. It might be best that we sit with this story, that we allow it to bring us to tears, that we allow it to make its way into the very center of our being, that we hear Jesus speak our names as well, that we also understand that this story is still playing itself out. Yes, he has ascended, and he has promised to return. And ours is to be faithful in the waiting. Ours is also to understand that where he's gone, that he has ascended to the Father, his Father and our Father, his God and our God. That's the moment we're in now. We celebrate that he is alive, and we anticipate that he's coming back. And that is very good news, and that's not my end. It's very good news for those of us who, in these days that race by, and as we look at the world around us, and as we perhaps wake up and we grieve like Mary does as she wakes up on that morning, trying to make sense, make a plan for the day to help her get through. I'll make it to the tomb. I'll give him a proper anointing. I'll share my tears at the graveside, expecting one thing and getting something entirely different. This is life in Christ. And while we may be in a hurry to go get things done, to move on to the next thing, to run back and tell the others, sometimes it's important for us to sit and to weep and to look and to listen. Because the one that we might think is the gardener, the one that we might think is the clerk, the one that we might think is the housekeeper, is Christ himself. And he speaks our name. And once we've taken the time to sit and to weep and to recognize, then the moment when we go out and we tell the others, while we wait for the return, and in the midst of the difficulties of waiting, as we survey the world around us, as we visit various tombs, as we lament the passing of institutions and things that we thought were unshakable truths, as we go up to those places and we weep with one plan in mind, let us do so anticipating that we will hear the voice of our Lord, the one who will bid us peace. Our good shepherd will call our name and we will recognize it. This is the joy of Easter, that just when you thought all hope was lost, Christ comes. Christ comes, meets you in the midst of your tears and despair, calls you to slow down and pay attention, because he is present with his Father and your Father, with his God and our God. It is beautiful. It is mysterious. It is a story that seems to rush by and yet lasts for all eternity. It is profoundly good news. And it is with this story in mind that I can say to you, Happy Easter. God bless us all. And Amen. Heavenly Father, we call out to you and we pray God of this Resurrection Sunday, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is alive and in your presence. It is to you we pray, and it is to you that we confess that we miss the point, that we miss out sometimes, that we're in such a hurry to take care of business, of the stuff of the day, to hurry from one thing to the next that we don't hear your voice, we don't see your face. But on this Easter Sunday, you've called us to this moment so that we can look and we can see you and we can hear you calling to us and commanding us to go out and to tell the others. And we are so thankful. We are so thankful for the previous generations that have saved this story for us, that have shared this good news, who've been faithful, and they've gone ahead and told the others, who in turn told us. Thank you, God, for the gifts of our faith, for the life of the church, and the blessings that you bring. And in the midst of the joy and the celebration, God, we ask, God, bless this good world of yours. We pray that you cast out the demons of the earth, demons that find themselves in positions of power and authority, demons that lurk around corners, demons waiting for a more opportune time. And we ask, oh God, that you lift up the hearts of the faithful, those who persevere in all of life's circumstances. They move forward each day in faith. They bring salt and light and grace and peace so that this would be a world where the good would thrive and survive, where your name would be proclaimed. Nurture the kind-hearted and the faithful, we pray. Again, bless this, your good world. And when you know us, you know each and every one of us, and you know our joys and our concerns. You keep track of our prayer lists. And so, on this day, with its celebrations and songs, we make a moment to be quiet, to seek peace, to listen for your voice, to hear you call our names. So join us here in this quiet space, O God, and hear the petitions of our hearts. We break our silence. We give you thanks for the gifts of peace and quiet. We give you thanks for the songs and the prayers and the traditions of our faith. We thank you for this prayer that you taught your first students. And now we are the keepers of this prayer. Hear us, O God, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. He is risen indeed. Jesus is alive. Go out into this world and tell the others of the good news of God. Our God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you on this Easter Sunday and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.